Welcome back to the Bashmania podcast. This is episode 145, and it is brought to you by our friends at Attack. Attack is a training app for competitive athletes. Now you can level up with AI. Custom-built programs for you to reach your goals and guided workouts to execute the plan. And even though it is a training app for competitive athletes, for high-level athletes, this is for everybody. If you're listening to this podcast, you can benefit from this app. I do think they're smart in targeting competitive and high-level athletes, but this app is like having a trainer in your pocket. Whatever your goals are, if you want to be a state champ, you can put it in there and it'll help you. If you just want to get in better shape like me because you're having a son in a couple months and you want to be in shape and run around with him as he grows up, this is the app for you. This is a great app. It's truly like having a trainer in your pocket, and it's also like having kind of like a notebook where you can log stuff and keep track of everything, whether it's how much water you take in, how much sleep you got, what your workout was, if you need help with those things, and how much you should have. This app is for you. So go and download Attack, A-T-A-C, in the Apple App Store today.
It's Bashmania!
Let me tell you something, brother. He gave us everything he had in him tonight. What you gonna do when Bashmania runs wild on you? Oh, it's gonna be a good one.
And business just picked up here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. We're back. Bashmania podcast. My man Corby's back on. I'm super grateful because I'm like, it's Tuesday. Are you doing a first word? You said Wednesday. I said, let's run this. We got a lot to talk about because this is the CKLV preview show. We'll go weight by weight, but a couple random topics first. I guess we'll start the show with Soriano. I'm personally, we talked about Soriano on here and I saw some tweets saying the same thing, but I'm almost like, I'm over the whole like mystery and this, that. I think it was so dragged out. I'm just ready to see him compete. I think it adds some fun. I'm so glad it's over. I'm so glad he just went somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, and I had a conversation with somebody close to the camp about, you know, and I think there's some misconception maybe out there to fans, and people feel that my opinion, Nick wants to build this mystique and brand within his own mind, right?
Yep.
Not that we're thinking about Nick wants to build this brand, right? Like this big brand where it's more, if that was the case, then he had offers to announce that on multiple different avenues, right? And he didn't. He just put it out on his Instagram. If Nick was chasing a really, that's
which, by the way, smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Athletes right. Should always, I love when somebody gives me news. I know people give you news. They give Willie news. It's so fun to break it. It's a lot of fun. Nothing's better than an athlete going to their own website, their own social, and breaking it on their own.
Yeah. And I think people were, to me, like, you know, when you're getting stuff like that, right? NIL, whatever. Now people come for money, right? He could get money to announce, right? That some that he turned down to just do it on his own platform, right? I think it's Nick building this in Nick's mind to become, in Nick's psyche, the best Nick he can be, right? So going to Michigan didn't shock me. I think there was a lot of, you know, him and Stefan don't get along kind of thing, this and that. You know, Nick's an alpha, right? And once he kind of puts that stamp on things, then, you know, it's not so bad. Him and Stefan, you know, they get along fine. So that's, and I think he wants to, you know,
iron also sharper as iron.
Yeah. You got a 2-time Olympic champion, 6-time world champion, Sergey Belaglazov, right? And Nick's looking down the road freestyle, right? He wants to be the guy. And I think that intrigues him some. And, you know, trying to get, it's in Michigan, right? The hype, trying to get them over the hump, trying to get them a team trophy, you know, I think that means something too. So I'm like you, right? You know, and that's why my set, like as it drug on, I said, well, this can't be about building a brand and making money because this is the dumbest marketing strategy ever. You know what I mean? Like you drag it on, and then like kind of the bubble had popped, right? So it's still exciting to people, but it was the talk of the town maybe 6-8 weeks ago, right?
And he lost a lot of followers. He went from 109,000 to 105,000. Now I think he might be back at 107 or something. But I think there's a lot of people like that who just, you know, all right, just getting dragged on. Like, I was interested. It's not that big of a deal to me.
I'm like you. I'm ready for it, right? Let's go. He's got his eye on a prize. He wants to, you know, he's got his eye on the title at 25. You know, he wants a shot at Spencer. You know, we don't see Vito, right? And Vegas comes out, right? No Vito. Wonder why.
Do you think he'll register late, or do you think he's what you're about to say?
I think they like the Penn State matchup with Vito at 25. Remember, they duel Penn State in about a month, right? We're down in Florida at the duels. Little small for RBY. Do they have Hildebrandt by then? Probably not, right? So you pump him down to 25. You're looking for a pin, right? Now, they like their matchup at 49. They like Yanni. They like their matchup at 57 with Santora or Yapugian. They like their matchup at 65 with Ramirez. They don't mind the matchup at 97 with Dean. They probably like them all. But me as a fan and going through it, I see what they're doing here. Now, he doesn't weigh in, right? Why weigh in weighing 129 pounds and wrestle 133 if you're going down to 25 when these matches aren't going to matter a lick for seeding if you're at 25? 33 matches, throw him out the window. So I think he's going down, right? He's small. I think they like, they're giving Greg D loss to Ashton, nothing against Greg D, but I think Vito scores more points at 25 than he does at 33.
Yeah.
And I think LaJoy scores more at 33 than Greg D would at 25. So they get more bang for their buck that way. Now also Handlevic. Handlevic's at 41, Yanni at 49. Yanni's going to see Sasso. They know what they got out of Hunter Richard. They like Hunter Richard. They know what they have. They're not sure about Handlevic yet, right? So Cole Handlevic gets another chance. Yanni gets to see Sasso. If they don't like how that looks, then Yanni goes down to 41 and Richard's at 49. Now, for a team, they're probably better, right? And that's what they're looking at. I interviewed Mike before the Stanford duel, and that's what he said, right? It's team. It's not going to be based on individual. What our best team is what we'll do. We've always been that way here at Cornell, and it's not going to change. So that's that.
Do you think, too, one last thing about Soriano?
Yeah.
My first thought was two things. Well, I guess my first two thoughts. One is I agree with you. I think this is exciting to him to help somebody win a team title. That's a great place to go because they're right there now. Number two, one of my first thoughts was, so Soriano's definitely wrestling for the Italian world team. Did you think that when you saw that? Because like Michigan seems to be the hub for wrestle for a different country's world team. And there's all these rumors before, you know, about maybe Soriano going to wrestle for Italian world team. Now you see him going to Michigan where they really help their guys. You want to go compete for this country, this country, this country. I don't know. To me, it just says, I think in 2022, we'll likely see him wrestling for the Italian world team. I could be 100% wrong. It's just one of those gut things where I'm like, yeah, this would make sense if it happened.
I could see him try a 2024 run here, right? Yep. And if he doesn't make our team, maybe go over. I think Nick's always, you know, not running from a fight. He's the one wanting to fight. So I don't know that he runs. I think he probably stays here in America. But yeah, I know people right away. You're not the only one, right? That thought that a lot of people, I think their mind went that way right away. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. So we got Vegas, we got registrations. We're only waiting for one team. Waiting on the Gophers.
I got one more rant before CKLV.
Yep. Let's do it.
And that is that I posted, actually, Bash Solutions posted too yesterday, sponsoring five athletes. Very happy about that. Go read about that if you haven't. We're sponsoring Yanni, David Carr, Peyton Prusin, Daniel Kerfley. Who did I not say? David, Yanni, Kirk. Peyton.
Person. Yeah.
Who's the fifth one? I'm trying to mind blank because I'm thinking about the next thing that I want to go off about already.
I hadn't seen it yet, so I can't help you there.
RBY. Completely drawn a blank on my guy, Roman.
Oh, well, duh. Yeah, duh.
So I'm very excited about that. But I posted good news yesterday that UWW released how much money the seeds got. So USA Wrestlers got $61,000 for basically how the rankings ended out. So Gilman got 10 grand, Fix got 7 grand, Bentelio 7 grand, Dake 10 grand, Burrows 10 grand, Taylor 10 grand, Snyder 7 grand. $61,000. Amazing. And as soon as I posted on Instagram, what do people do? Wah, they should get more. Wah, that's BS. Like, baby steps. We have to take steps as a sport. The fact that the top three seeds got money is amazing. The fact that on top of Living the Dream Metal Fund, these guys walked away with another $10,000. The fact that Pentelio got $7,000 when he didn't even go, like, amazing. And the fact that people are crying, I don't get it. I know there's so many negative people out there, but I don't get it. And as soon as I told you, like, let's do a show, I knew I wanted to address that because I couldn't believe I opened Instagram to see, like, all these negative comments. And I'm like, is there no, like, hey, this is a good step forward? I don't understand why it's 0 or 100 so many times.
Yeah, to me, you know, how interesting, right? Now with an NIL, I know we can't, it's name, image, likeness. We can't talk performance, but I feel somehow we could work this into companies or sponsors sponsoring a weight class at the NCAA tournament, right? And now let's say we, you know, we had talked on our last show, you know, about a point system, about, you know, trying to figure out a way to get the best guys and make the season matter, not allowing guys to sit. You get points for each match wrestled, points against a ranked guy. And at the end of the year, you just take the total points and those are the guys in. And if you don't compete, then you don't have enough points, you don't get in. So it's like you could, you know, they could sponsor weights, right? Somehow we could work this in. Look at what, how, why did the guy, why did they get money? What did they do all year to earn? They wrestled.
They wrestled. They
to earn the points. They earn the points. It's they're incentivizing the point system. Cause what is UWW doing? They're adapting on the fly. They're making changes, right? They realized it came out. And what Jordan Burrow say? I'm not going. Why would I go at my weight? At, you know, the way it gets drawn in, I go, I'm number one seed. I get Chaz Mizo or whatever, however it worked that year. I'm not going to go to that. Well, now what? Now they make a change. They hear what their athletes are saying. They hear what the fans are saying. So they make a change. They incentivize it, right? So now next year, guess what? Or end of January and February when the ranking series tournaments roll around, guess what? Guys are going to go compete now. Yeah. Why? Because there's some money on the line at the end of the day. And that's, you know, that's when this sport, man, guys are scraping for money, right? So.
And I think, like, I get people wanting more. I just also think, too, we should be grateful for steps forward. It's a step forward. And I think, you know, I try to just be as optimistic as I can about these things. I think it's great. My very first thought was literally because they released weight by weight and I saw Gilman first and I'm like, amazing. Thomas Gilman gets another $10,000 just for showing up, wrestling, competing, obviously in winning, but for putting himself out there for going, I love it. So that's my mini rant that people need to be more grateful for.
Here's my thing. And probably half of those people that were bitching, they don't go. They don't leave their house. They don't support. They don't spend their money on it. They have the subscriptions. And to me, I like sitting at home sometimes and watching a dual meet, but I mean, it's also kind of hurting our sport some too, right? I mean, what, you know how many people, New Jersey people that I know that sat home that didn't drive to the Prudential Center, people I know that were within an hour away that didn't drive to watch UNC Wisconsin Rutgers on a Saturday night because it was in the middle of the evening. They could just watch it at home, right? So why go? So I think we all want streaming and we all want everything to be on, but man, I sure do like it when, you know, people were in the seats, right? And I mean, I live here in Jersey, right? I go back, you know, what, I think it was 07, 08, Goodell took over, right? I think his first dual meet, there were 22 people at his first dual meet in the gymnasium, 22 fans, okay? So now you fast forward, what, 10 years, right? Rutgers is in the rack in 2018, selling out 3,000. You know, 3,000 season tickets from 22 people in 10 years. Coaches, if you can't figure out a way to get your people in the seats, I mean, you got to figure out a way to get people in the seats. That's your job. That is your job. Get people in the seats. Make it fan friendly. Figure it out. You know what I mean? Get out to your local clubs. We need butts in the seats.
You're missing one of the easiest ones, and I won't digress, but and wrestle your guys or girls. Wrestle your team.
Yeah. And we talked about that a little bit, and I think it's hard. We're on a slippery slope right now because of COVID and contact tracing. And we don't know. We want to call all, not always, but, you know, Willie had the duck shirt made a couple years ago, and the fans, everybody's, oh, that guy ducked, this guy ducked. Now, sometimes we know a little bit more than others, but now in this day and age, we don't know, did he get contact traced? Did he get, so it's a slippery slope. You know, I know Minio jumped on the other day and was getting on the North Carolina guys, and believe me, we have a show tomorrow and there'll be some things said, but there's also situations where we know more than the next guy, right? So it's like you kind of sometimes you call things out and sometimes you don't, right? So it's like it's a slippery slope. But and then I want to talk real quick, bring it up, I guess. What do you think about Oregon State not being able to get to Iowa? What do you think of that?
That was a very interesting one. I mean, hats off to Army, West Point, and Iowa for making a duel happen very, very quickly. That's amazing. That's very interesting because I saw the Oregon State fallout kind of take place in the airport. I don't know what the issue exactly was, but there was travel hurdles and they couldn't get there. I don't recall ever seeing that before. One time for like snow. Or let's say somebody couldn't get out and, you know, something like that. But I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I guess it turned out to a situation to where they were going to have to go on like four different flights. And I guess maybe the athletic department didn't feel great about that. And one of the flights, they were going to Chicago, and then four people were going to have to drive from Chicago out to Iowa City.
It
was kind of, so I guess they kind of pulled the plug on that. But yeah, it was just interesting. It's just something that is odd that we typically don't see and we haven't seen, and like you say, when you do, it's usually weather. It was just a odd thing that, you know, came about, and good for Army, right, stepping up, going there, you know. And
did you see the UNI shots fired?
I did.
What did you make of that?
Yeah, Allison come out shotgunning, huh? You know, what do I make of it? Not a whole lot. But it's just old black and gold blood, man. You know, that's it. Just old black and gold blood, just poking, right? Just poking. That's all, right?
I think you need that. I think you need that little bit of give and take. You need that, like, shots fired. I love it.
Listen, there may be a little bit of that, you know, but deep down inside, you know, take the competitive nature away. That group of human beings right there, they care about each other down deep inside. Right. And so it's, you know, but when you get competitive, man, it gets nasty. Right. And as we do, right. And everything, right. You get competitive and you want a chance, you want a shot, you know, Doug's there, you know, he's building the program. He wants a shot at him, right. He wants a shot at him and they won't give him a shot. Right. So it's kind of, you know, it just hasn't happened. Right. Maybe it will happen, you know? So it's very interesting. But I like it, right? I like that kind of stuff. I think we need it, you know. I do. I think people call me crazy, but I mean, do people remember Wade Chalice used to go like put an X on the mat and like pin people there? So if Pat Glory, like, let's say if he done what our sport needed was Pat Glory to go out there, grab Ybarra, drag him over to the Iowa corner, double boots in.
Remember what Gilman did?
Yeah. working him and telling Spencer, hey, buddy, you lucky you didn't wrestle tonight. That's what we need, right? We don't get a rivalry anymore. Now it's like, oh, we'll see him at the national tournament. Right. You know, what about when guys used to wrestle five times in a year and we built what you call the rivalry? Remember that word, coaches? Rivalry. We used to build those in this sport. And that's what, you know, brought, you know, everything
it's
up.
It's a storyline. You know what I mean? Like, you need
no doubt in my mind. I will put, listen, you're going to see Nick Soriano and Spencer Lee this year. If we see it, one time. You ain't seeing that at the Big Ten tournament.
Nope.
No way, Jose. Forget about it. That match is not happening at the – one of them will not wrestle that match at the Big Ten tournament. Don't know which one. One of them will not wrestle that match. That match will not – I'll tell you right now, that match is not going to happen until the national tournament, if it happens. There's a guy named Vito dropping down that's pretty good. So everybody's kind of, you know, making this matchup of, you know, Nick and Spencer. But
look,
there's also a guy there, Vito, and there's also a guy named Glory. So
I'll tell you what.
It's going to be very interesting.
Drew Hildebrandt. If he's at Penn State and he's in that state college room, Cal has done some magical things. That whole coaching staff with getting guys to be that much better and getting guys to show up in March. Like I'm on the Drew Hildebrandt train. So, all right. Speaking of matches that aren't going to happen, CKLV is probably going to have some of those. You know, it's very interesting. I went back and forth yesterday kind of thinking about it because, you know, you look at the teams that are going to beat the CKLV, and my very first thought is, oh, my gosh, we're going to get Gable versus Mason already. My second thought was, no, we're not. And then it's breaking it down, and, you know, I think Mason Paris is going to wrestle until the second semester for whatever reason. But, you know, that was my first thought. So this weekend's going to be interesting. I guess let's just go through it. We'll start at 125. Every weight this weekend is going to be good. So for those listening, CKLV is Friday, Saturday. I tweeted out the schedule. It's on my Twitter. I think it's live on Flow. Basically, It starts midday Friday, quarters or Friday night, semis Saturday morning, final Saturday night. It's going to be awesome. 125 pounds, Corby.
25. We got 9 ranked guys in the top 33 in the Intermat rankings. We're going to have number 2, 4, 7, 9, and 10. So we got 5 guys in the top 10. We're going to have Glory, who's 2. We got Lamont, who's 4. We got Schroeder, who's 7. We got Heinzelman, who's 9. And we got McKee, who's 10. We've also got guys like Joe Manchio, Jack Medley, Brandon Kaler, Michael Rose, who made the tournament last year out of Binghamton. So we got some guys there. To me, I mean, it's Pat Glory's weight. You know, I think Pat Glory wins this weight. I like Heinzelman. I like Malik Heinzelman. I like his trajectory this year. I like the way he's been wrestling. He's grown into the weight. He's not small anymore. I like him. I think he makes the finals. Look for Lamont. You know, I like Lamont. Lamont McKee, interesting match, I think, for 3rd and 4th. Schroeder Medley, I got for 5th and 6th. And then Manchio from Columbia. And then Allen. Allen's a kid at Navy. Jake Allen, who was at 33 last year, dropped back down. Really good in control ties. I mean, 2-on-1, 2-on-1, 2-on-1. Really good at a 2-on-1. He gets to it. So that'll be interesting. A guy in this weight that hasn't really quite done what we expected him to, maybe coming out of high school, and he's going to get a shot here, is Jeremiah Reno at Nebraska. He's going to get a shot at 125. He's, you know, decent size, 2500 now, so we'll see what he can do. I'm really looking forward to like a McKee Lamont, right? That's a match I think that is just going to be a fireworks if they meet. There'll be a lot of points. There'll be a lot of upper body. They'll get a lot of weird positions. And I look at 25 for that to be a really exciting match. What stands out to you at 25? Anything you're excited for?
You know, this is one of those, Matt, this is one of those weights where I don't follow anybody in this weight super, super close. So I don't have like a super bias like I do so many times. I'm really excited to see. This is one of those weights where you throw 2 darts at the wall and whoever's wrestling, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be excited. Whoever ends up in the semis and finals, especially, they're going to be such good matches. I'm really excited for that. It seems like one of those weights where I just look at it and you see the names, Glory, Lamont, Malik, McKee. You see these names of just talent. It's like kind of watching like a football game that you don't really have a vested interest in one side. You just want to see a good game because it's on. That's how I feel about 125. I think it's going to be a good weight. And I'm just curious to see as we head into December, where these guys are at and how they match up. I think it's going to be.
Yeah, fun. I think me too. I think it's a weight where it's like, if you tiered it, you would have Glory in a tier. And then like the 2 through 8 guys would all be in a tier where you could wrestle this 3 weekends in a row and 2 through 7 would just be switched up every weekend. Right. So it's going to be interesting. I like a bracket like that. Let's move up to 133. We're going to have 9 guys in the intermat rankings at 133.
No veto.
No veto. So our highest ranked guy is, it's kind of an odd way. Our highest ranked guy is going to be 6 with Cannon, and he's only guy in the top 10. And then we drop down to like 16, right? And then we're, no, I'm sorry, 14 with Chance Rich. Then we go to like Ragusan and Turner. And
Dylan's my guy. Dylan for 133, he's the guy that I think, like, I think he's ranked where he is because of his criteria and whatever, but he's a guy here who I think you're going to see him climb in the rankings after this weekend. I'm super, super excited to watch him compete.
I think an over under on Ragusan Soriano fist fight in the room was yesterday. Cause Dylan doesn't back down. And so, yeah, that's going to be great. That's going to be great for Dylan to get Nick and good for Nick to get Dylan, too. So, yeah, I'm a huge, you know, Illinois guy myself. Right. So I follow
Izzy style,
those guys.
Baby. Izzy
yeah,
style.
I follow those guys really close. And I follow Dylan's whole career from, you know, a 7-year-old kid. Right. And know a lot about the kid. I know his mindset, which is second to none, which is why he's getting to where he's at. He wasn't born with a lot of those athletic or talent or gifts, right? Them are all from hard work. So yeah, I like him. My opinion, I think he's going to be a little bit small still to mess with Cannon, right? From Northwestern, who was 7th last year. And so I have Cannon Ragusan. Now I have Swartz beating Greenwood for 3rd. Now Greenwood just beat McCall McGee over the weekend. Okay. Greenwood from Wyoming beat McCall McGee over the weekend. So look out for him. He's still ranked 30, but I've got him all the way up here to 4. And now Chance Rich is ranked 14. And I got him placing ahead of Rich. Then I got Drury. Then I've got a kid, Navy kid. Most people don't know. Freshman, Josh Cotterham. Okay. This kid's an Illinois kid down by St. Louis area, Belleville.
This is, by the way, my favorite thing about doing preview shows with you. It's the little sleeper in Golden Nuggets. It's my favorite thing about it.
This is a guy right here. Most people probably, you know, don't have their eye on, probably don't even, when they scam through this list, they're not even going to, I mean, put it this way. I've got Cotterham placing. I don't have Alex Thompson placing.
Wow.
So, I mean, that just, you know, I mean, so I'm high on Cotterham. I think he's tough. I think he's in the right place with Cole at. He's tough on top. The kid's a grinder. Look out for him, Cotterham. And then I got Turner 8th. So we got a guy like Sabacher who's in there. Sabacher was the kid that in the Rutgers duel that locked up that headlock on Alvarez, right?
Yep.
So he's a thrower. He's a, you know, thrower.
That was fun.
That was it, right? And he's going to go for it, right? So, all right, let's go up to 141. We got 10 ranked guys in the intermat rankings at 141. Our highest guys are 7 and 9. We got Clay Carlson coming in at 7, which most people are going to, and Chad Red 9, and most people are going to be like, wow, Carlson's ranked ahead of Red, huh? But yeah, Carlson's ranked ahead of Red, and I've got Red winning it. I got, now we got guys like Sines, Martinoni, Red, Alirez, Willits, Phileas, Carlson, D'Amelio, Zolman. We got a lot of kids here, but there's a kid that another one of these little nuggets here. I got him 8th. He's filling in for Demas, okay? This kid's name's Jacob Butler. All right. Okay. He's an athletic kid. He's going to fill in for Dom Demas. And I think he places in this tournament. He's a tough kid. Like I said, I got Red Olirez. I got Willits 3rd. I got Clay Carlson 4, D'Amelio 5, Lawrence Sines 6, Parker Phileas 7. And then I got Butler in there from Oklahoma, the backup at 8. Guys, I don't have placing. I don't have Martinoni placing. I don't have.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see real Woods register for this, right?
No, real. So they're on tri-semesters out there, and real with the credits, he's not chasing. So he decided December 8 is enrollment for him. So he's just missing this by a few days. When we were out there, we talked to him, and he didn't enroll the first try semester. He's good to go December 8th. So you'll see him then. 141.
Really excited to see him get back out there.
Great kid, man.
I want to see what my guy Chenzo has been doing with him.
Oh yeah, they're doing it out there. I tell you, they're doing a good job out there. They got it made out there, man. What a life, huh? Sunshine every day, 70 degrees of the cold day. You got to get out there.
Soon.
All right.
49 is my way to the tournament. I mean,
11 guys, 11 of the top 33. So we got 33
with 1 versus 2.
With 1 versus 2. And then we got Abbas in there who we got a stall call and a shoelace grab to win that one, right? Now, I mean, and we got Yaya. People forget Yaya. Yaya was third last year at the NCAAs. So
how about a guy like Rich Lovett who can throw a wrench in any bracket?
Watch out for a kid named Legend Lamer. All right. He's ranked 13. A lot of people know him, but he got bigger. He's a real 49 pounder. He's gonna be tough. We got a kid who's been scrappy at Binghamton, Nick Lombard, who was a Michigan transfer. He was at Michigan for 4 years, transferred to Binghamton. He's starting. He's solid. We got Lamer. We got Storr. Love it. Yaya. We got Mitch Moore. Zach Price up at 49. We got Abbas, Sasso, Yanni, Blockus, and then Crooks. So, I mean, we got 1, 2, 4, and 6.
Wild.
So, yeah, 1, 2, 4, and 6. So, this is the Yanni. This is the test for Yanni right here. This is going to be... This is going to determine what Yanni does. Okay, this tournament right here. This is going to determine, does Yanni Diakomihalis wrestle this weight or right? Because I will say this,
because I agree with you. But my only question to you is, Yanni doesn't have many losses in college. He did lose to McKenna at this tournament. Went on to win the national championship. Do you think this weekend is reason, and not just for Yanni, I'm talking anybody, but good segue to bring it up. Do you think this weekend is cause for any kind of panic and alarm? I know Yanni didn't lose that match to McKenna by very much. It was a very close match. But do you think it's, you know, for guys like Yanni and others who are at a certain weight, do you think it's a fair test because it is so early in the season still?
Yeah, I think it's a fair test. And I think, you know, with them, right, specifically, we talked about earlier with their lineup, I think, where they know what they have in Richards and they're checking out Han Lovick here. But and Yanni, right, it's like he could probably go either way. You know, I think it's a feel for him, how he feels against these guys, you know, and where I think at 25 and 33, it's more that, hey, what I think 41 and 49 are kind of interchangeable, where I think with Vito at 25 and LaJoie at 33, they score way more. So, and I think the 41, 49 are kind of interchangeable. So I think that will be kind of more on a Yanni feel thing and how big and how, you know, does he feel strong enough? Does he like the feel? And then, hey, listen, two, Yanni could go win this weekend and then go down. Why? Because he's a competitor, right? Nick Lee's a guy that's, you know, good guy, right? I mean, Ironman, right? I mean, so he may feel 41's a bigger, better challenge for him too. You know, some guys are running, some guys are not, right? So it all depends for him, I think. I've been going back and forth all day. When I wrote this down earlier, I had Yanni Sasso, and then I went back in my head, and I think it's just because, I don't know. I think I'd like to see Yanni down. I think it's just as a fan, you know, I've kind of, you know, helping Willie now, right, and doing things, but I'll never be, like, I have a hard time, like, being a media guy. I always look at it through the fan. I've been a fan for so many years that I just can't not look at it through the fan's lens.
Yep.
And me as a fan, I want to see Yanni down. I think that weight's great with him down. I think 49 still has some good pop without him there. So I just, as a fan, I think the Nick Lee Ironman Yanni thing is just awesome. Then you get Woods in there healthy with a whole,
Lira's, you
Alirez, Woods with two thirds of a year, right? You get guys in the mix there. So, so I've gone back and forth, Yanni and Sasso. You know, I'll go Sasso, maybe just a little bigger. Then I'll go Yanni, then Abyss, then Yaya, then Lovett, then Lamer, and then Storm Blockus. But a guy to look out for in this weight, like I said, I'm big on Lamer. I know he's ranked 13th, but I like Lamer. I think, you know, a guy that I didn't list here to place, and I just realized it looking through here, I don't have Mitch Moore placing. So that's, I mean, probably bad on my part, but I just looked here and I'm like, oh, I don't have, sorry, Mitch. But yeah, I don't have Mitch Moore placing. I guess I just looked through and missed him, but so hopefully he proves me wrong this weekend. I like Mitch Moore. So then we get up to 157. Now to me,
I do think, by the way, Yanni's going to handle Sasso. Just
you do.
What's on the record. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
I think Yanni, I don't think he'd like the way he wrestled Jaden.
Fat. He did not like the way he
was. I don't think he liked the way he felt. He has a couple weeks, and I think he wants to give 149 a feel a little differently, if that makes sense. Go into the match a little differently. I also think a tournament versus a duel. This sport is primed towards how do you compete in a tournament, not a duel. You know what I mean?
So. My opinion too, you get so predicated, like so focused in on the folk style side of things. Yep. And you're so used to back foot push, right? A guy backs out of ties and doesn't want to wrestle you in freestyle. You just get him to the edge and get your push out. Right.
Yeah.
Well, so if you go back and rewatch that match, there's instances where Yanni's just kind of pushing instead of making him wrestle back into him kind of thing. And yeah. I think that's a feel that he'll change, right? When you go freestyle, folk style, I think it's getting back into that. And I think too, where, you know, he scrambled pretty good in that match, you know, but you know,
but how many times do we see a guy at a tournament shake some rust off the first match, and then he goes out and blows the doors open in the second match? When guys wrestle in a duel, especially this early in the season, they don't have that ability. Like if that, and I'm not taking anything away from Jaden, I think he wrestled great. But if that would have been 9 a.m. and then Yanni wrestles again at 1, I think he's like, the rust is off. It's sometimes hard in this sport when it's all geared towards middle of March, you win an NCAA championship by winning 5 matches. So it's hard sometimes to see that difference too in a duel, because we put so much weight on a duel match, but we never put weight on the first match of a 5-match tournament.
And I don't think people took into, like, got to remember that was big, man. Rob Cole back, yeah. Place is packed. You know what I mean? The nerves, anxiety. So yeah, I think that played into it too. And you know what else played into it? Jaden Abyss is freaking good.
He's really good. Right?
Jaden Abyss
is really
good.
High on him.
Jaden Abyss is high level. This kid's really good, man. He's jumped levels. He'll continue to do it. So yeah. Now this weight, 9 guys, okay, in the top 33. But this is probably my favorite weight. Okay. We're gonna get guys like now Yapujin's out, Santoro in, okay. So we got Justin Thomas, we got Kendall Coleman, we got Will Luan, we got Monday, who just beat Caleb Young pretty handily.
How
right?
about maybe
we
one of the hottest guys right now, Peyton Robb?
Peyton Robb, Brayton Lee, Ryan Deacon. So this weight right here, then we got guys like Cerniglia, Willits. We got Wright, Jacob Wright, number 13 from Wyoming. He's in the mix. Kendall Coleman. Like I said, we got 2, 4, 5. We got 12, 13, 15, 17, 18, 19. So this is like a pretty, you know, top, like a lot of good guys. Now, right, they just came in late. So I got Deacon. They just registered their guys just before we got on. We're only waiting on one team, Minnesota. So yeah, but I'm going to go Deacon, Brayton, Peyton Robb, Monday. Then I'm going to go Jacob Wright, Will Luan, Kendall Coleman, Justin Thomas. So, and then a guy in this weight class, freshman, Enrique Munguia. Okay, this kid comes in out of Ohio, won Ohio State title. He's at Kent State. Now, I'm not saying this kid's going to come in and place. I'm not saying this kid's, but this kid is going to wrestle some matches against a guy here. And you're going to, at the end of the match, you're going to say, who the hell is this Munguia kid? And just so
not
before
if you
that happens,
to the Dash Mania podcast.
That's right. I'm letting you know before it happens, you're gonna say to yourself, who in the heck is this kid? So now we get up to 165. We got 11 guys. Again, another weight with 11 guys in the top 33 intermat rankings. Our guy Earl Smith ranks them over there. He does a great job. I think the best in the game. This is a weight. I mean, we got guys like Tanner Cook. We got a guy in here, Nebraska Kearney, D2 national champ, Matt Malcolm. He's going to place in this bracket. I'm telling you right now.
This weight excites me a lot. I mean,
this weight excites me. We got Griffith, Karch, LeWick, Amin, Ramirez, who just beat Griffith. We got Matt Malcolm, a D2 champ. We got Bubba Wilson, Tanner Cook. We got a guy I didn't mention, ranked number 12 in the country, Phil Clignero. I don't have Phil Clignero placing.
Yeah, this weight is going to be nuts because we might get to find out where Evan Wick and Shane Griffith match up against each other. How's Carson looking? You know what I mean? Like
we're gonna see two basketball players probably wrestle in the finals. Griffith and we're gonna probably see Griffith and Wick. I mean, I got Karchla. Okay. I think on his feet where Wick lacks a little, right? Wick's very good, gets on top, can shut down matches. Wick's good on his feet, but Karchla's very high level on his feet. I think Karchla may get the extra takedown in this match and in the semis. Now, depending on the seeds, but I got it. Griffith, Karchla, Wick, Amin, Ramirez, Matt Malcolm, Wilson, and Cook. So I do not have Clinigliero, who's number 12 in the country right now, placing. So that's very interesting to me. Another guy in this weight to look out for, we haven't seen at 65 in a while, was a Rutgers kid, Joe Grello, transferred down to Oklahoma, and now he's their 65-pounder. He had been Rutgers 74 for a few years. Now it's his last year. So a guy to kind of, you know, keep an eye on there. Now I'm going to tell you, this is a guy, right? There's going to be a weight class right here. 12 of the top 33, okay? There's going to – I got 12 of the top 33 guys, okay? The lowest rank guy in the third of these guys, the 31st guy, I got him taking third. I got Adam Kemp.
You're big Lee on Kemp, Cal Poly, huh?
Lee Kemp's son, Adam Kemp, starting to turn the corner. Just keep an eye on him. We got Mikey Labs, right? We got Ethan Smith. Like them both. I got Kemp placing ahead of Folka. I got Kemp placing ahead of Hayden Hastings. Maybe too high on him, but I was out there, you know, a couple weeks ago. I watched these guys train. You know, Sean Faust is out there. You got Tristan Moran out there. You got Azevedo out there, 1980 Olympian. I mean, they got a really good staff out there. I just watched those guys train. Lamer's big and strong. I watched this Kemp kid. And he's very explosive. He's always had the tools. I think it's been more belief. And I watched him and Wick wrestle around for a while. And I like what I saw. And I look at this bracket and there's a lot of good guys, but we're like 20, 22, 29, 26, 27. You know, a lot of guys like that. I got Labriola, Smith, Kemp, Hastings, Folka, Mantanona, Ninehouse, and DeVos out of South Dakota State. So I don't have, some solid guys placed. I don't have Kratiger placing. I don't have Jacob Nolan, NCAA qualifier out of Binghamton placing. So, yeah, I'm high on Kemp. I think he's believing in himself. I think he's a big 74. And I look for Adam Kemp. He's also on my fantasy team. So he's going to probably be my guy this week. I'm looking for him, big things out of him. So, now we're up to 184. What do you got? You got anything at that weight? What do you think?
You know,
Labriola and Smith. What do you like?
This 184 reminds me Well, 174 and 184 are both like 125 to me. 174, you don't have like the top four guys. You don't have some of the best that are typically like you give the weight to them when you see them in a bracket. And this weight is interesting because it is open. I agree. Chris Focus, somebody I'm very interested to see what he can do. He is an absolute hammer who I think is overlooked sometimes. I'm really curious to see if like a Chris Focus, if some of these guys that you and I think are overlooked, whether you're in the room, whether you just know them, friends of friends, whatever. This is one of those guys that like I'm waiting to have a good weekend. I think he could do something this weekend at 74.
Yeah, he can. Chris Focus, a kid, always lifted during the season. They never cut weight. They always, you know, wrestled where they were, maybe a little heavy. He wrestled 86 kilograms, 189 this summer in Coralville. So this is the first time Chris Focus cut weight in his life. Okay. And he's young. Tall.
He's 6 foot. He's a big boy.
You're going to see the best Chris Focus in the second semester, right? It takes a while. You got to figure it out as a kid. People tell you, do this, do that. Kids don't listen. People don't listen. We got to figure out things on our own. He's figuring it out. He will figure it out. As the season goes on, he's going to figure it out and learn more and more. He's a smart kid. It's trial by error with these guys, right? He's going to figure it out. You're going to see the best Chris Focus in the second semester. That's why I kind of got some guys beating him this weekend. Love Chris Focus. Talent's high. But that's where I'm at with Chris Focus. I think it's gonna come down to, you know, getting used to it, right? Where a lot of guys are, right? When you get into a match and you start feeling things you've never felt before, when other guys feel that every match they push through and you're kind of like, oh, what is that, right? Yeah. We saw a little bit of that in the third period against Tyler Eichens in the duel. He got ridden out. Not that Eichens is a good kid too, but I expected Focus to move more, get out. Yeah. He was feeling it, right? And so he's something he's never felt before. He's going to have to feel that a few more
times.
That's
why I'm waiting for him to break out. That's why. He's going to. Like, you know, when you've watched a kid like that, yeah.
It's going to happen. So now we got 10 guys.
Yep.
At 184 in the top 33. But we only have one guy in the top 10, and that's number 6, Bernie Trow out of Cal Poly, right? So, and then we have Venz, right? Which is interesting that Venz is down at 15. You know, not looking the greatest. I look for Venz to break out this weekend. I got Venz beating Bernie in the finals. Then we got guys like David Key. We got Darian Roberts. We got Stefanik out of Princeton, who's tough. We got Jonathan Lowe out of Cornell, who I like a lot. Samuelson out of Wyoming. Rocky Jordan, not in.
It's
Caleb Romero. Is back. Romero is back. Ankle is better. He's back. He's in. He's registered. So look for, before I did my picks, I didn't have him in there. I'm going to put him in at third. And then I'm going to go Samuelson 4, Low 5, Salazar 6, Key 7, and Lyon 8. So I do not, I have, oh, interesting one. Colin McCracken, Kent State, qualified at 97, down at 84. So just something to kind of keep an eye on there. Darian Roberts, guy don't have placing, who I like a lot. Wyoming SEM kid, talented, athletic, wouldn't surprise me if he placed. Up to 197, we got 13 ranked guys. This is the weight with the highest ranked guys. Now, we got a lot of lower ranked guys, but this is a solid weight.
It is.
You know, we got 6, 8, 9, and 10. You know, we got Jake Woodley, right? Who is looking really good right now. Jake Woodley is my pick to win this weight. I got Schultz coming back and getting second. I got Cardenas, then Buchanan, then Brookie, then Sloan, then Dupre, then Panola. Guy to look out for. McAlfoy, probably remember the name, Olympian, wrestling stud out of Chicago. His son wrestles at Minnesota. His son beat Tanner Sloan over the weekend. His son is, at Minnesota, so look for him. I do not have him placing, but look for him to break out. Panola and Dupre for 7th and 8th. I got Dupre winning that. Dupre is one that has gone up to 97, not looked the greatest so far. Not look bad, but not look. I thought he would do a little better at 97 than he's looked. So I don't know if it's a weight thing. I don't know. We don't know, right? We talk about this with people. Heck, he could have been sick for the last month and, you know, and just getting back in shape. We don't know, right? Yeah. But he hasn't looked like Louis Dupre yet. So I've got him down lower than I would like to have Louis Dupre, who's ranked 11th in the country. I've got him placed in 7th, which, Brucky hasn't looked good. Ranked 8th. Brucky hasn't looked good. I just haven't been, not the Brucky I'm used to seeing. I know he was off the mat for a while, getting the rust off. Look for Brucky to start getting better and better and better as the season goes on. Guy at this weight that could break out would be Davison of Northwestern, ranked 32. He could pop up in there and beat some guys. Heavyweight, it's a Gable show, right?
I mean, I'm assuming Gable will enter.
Yeah, I'm hoping. If he doesn't, this weight's this best guy's Orndorff and Andrews. If he doesn't enter, we got 1, 6, and 8. We got 9 ranked guys. We got Joe Doyle. We got Slavikuski, Lance, Davison, Heinzelman, Traub, Nevels, Andrews, Orndorff. And then can't forget about probably the best bench presser in the weight, Del Garbino out of Princeton. I mean, we saw him bench press Cassiope. I mean, this kid's probably, can't count him out, right? Ever, I guess, anymore. So, we got to mention him. I got Gable, Slavikuski, Davidson, Lance, Heinzelman, Nevels, Orndorff, and Andrews. That is my guys that I have placed in there. Can't wait. I'm on the road. Take off Thursday. I'm heading out to Iowa. I'm going to check out a Southeast Polk Fort Dodge dual meet. Then on Friday, Saturday, I'm going to the Dan Gable Donnybrook at the Extreme Arena in Coralville. There's 7 top 50 high school teams in the country. Dang. 7 of the top 50. So I'm going to be out there. Then get up Sunday morning in Coralville and shoot back 2 hours out to Ames. And we're tailgating, going with Bogle, right, going with the Stalemates. And imagine Hager will be there and Fellers and the crew. And we're going to set up 3 p.m. tailgate, Hilton Coliseum. Bring your coolers, bring your drills. Iowa State, Iowa, 6 p.m. Let's go. It's going to be 50 degrees in Iowa. And let's go. That dual meet, say, listen, people think that dual meets. Listen, let's go through that dual meet real quick. 125, right? They're probably favored at Iowa State with Terracina, right? Then you got DeSanto and Ironman, right? Now you go to 49, right? We haven't seen Mirren. We've seen Seabrook. We've seen Turk, right? If we give Edge Dagan, right? 57, we go Edge Carr, right? 74, Hawks. 84, Marcus Coleman. I mean, probably Edge Coleman, right? That's 4, right? So now we're sitting 4-4. We like Cassiopeia heavyweight, right? And we haven't seen Warner. Now we're 5-4. We got 97. We haven't seen Warner. We got younger Bastida, very good on his feet. You know, what happens there? Is Warner sitting in a tunnel waiting to go in case it's a 4-4 duel at that time? And they bring out Warner. I mean, there's some excitement in that duel. You know what I mean? With the way it shakes out. I don't think we see Spencer. I expect Iowa to win. But, hey, it's the way matchups.
It'll be a good duel,
though, for sure. Yes, yeah. Right, because dual meets are about matchups. And what we've seen, the way the weights shake out, it looks like maybe a favorite Iowa State in 4 matches, right? And then, so now you're talking 6-4. You're talking an upset. You got a dual meet. So it's interesting, right? And so, and there's a little, they're going in there wrestling dresser, right? I mean, so there's a little bit of that going on, and it's Iowa State as well. And so do we see Mirren for the first time? He was listed as a probable last week. We didn't see him. Do we see Warner? Wouldn't shock me if we see Mirren and Warner this week. So can't wait. I'm going to be there.
Listening, if you're not watching this on Rockfin, you're missing out, by the way. Go on Rockfin, subscribe, watch it. Corby and Willie also doing a show tomorrow, right? Wednesday?
Yep. We'll be live tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern. So check it out. We're going to go over who's been ducking, who's been sitting, who's been running, who's been, missing dual meets, who's been dropping dual meets, who's been, we got some, there's going to be some coaches probably, maybe get called out a little bit. Some not so much. Some will, some won't. Some wrestlers, some won't. So yeah, no, it's all good. But
I
think some of the coaches too, like, may mistaken us for, like, you know, and I guess we are media, right? But I mean, we're fans too, right? So you know, and we have a lot of good relationships with a lot of the coaches as well. So a lot of it's just some ribbing back and forth, right? But then some of it gets a little serious too. But we know sometimes who ducks and who doesn't, right? So when some guys get called out and some don't, it may be, you know, we may know a little more of something, right? But there were some guys injured this weekend. We'll go over that. We're going to have some guys out. You don't have Luis Fernandez for Cornell right now. He's out. Jamie Hernandez is going to be out, I believe, missing a little bit of time. He got dinged up at the Prudential Center. So, there's some guys that could be out for a little bit of time. So, but yeah, man, hey, I appreciate you having me on. You got snow up there today? You snowing?
No.
No?
We got a little bit yesterday, but that's it.
We got flurries here. Ground's just starting to, you know, get a little covered here. I don't think we're supposed to get much. They weren't even calling for it.
I'm ready for a snow globe. I love working just the snow and outside. So, Corby, you're the man. We'll do this again soon.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for everybody listening. You guys all rock. We'll be back soon. See ya.
And the beat goes on.